everybody. Recruiting Animal here on December 21st, 2011. The last show of the year. I'm a little too low-key, if you ask me. So, I haven't even come up with my own introduction. People, I don't know, were sending me stories this week, and I decided to just feed you some of the information that they've passed on to me. Number one is Jacob Scher from Job Mob. He sent me an article called Wacky Things Job Hunters Send to Recruiters. Most of them were not wacky, but the first one was great. That's why they made it number one. I don't know if it's true, but a guy named Tom Kidd at Press Pack Publications claims that a guy named Spike, a young man, wanted a job in publicity in the entertainment business. So he sent the company a railroad spike painted in silver. Ha 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 ha! Isn't that witty? I hate witty stuff, but everybody in the office, they like that gimmick. But then, here's the funny thing. Then he sent them some sponges with a note that said, in case my first mailing got you excited. And this guy's boss, she didn't like that at all. She cut that guy right out. I think that they misunderstood what kind of excitement and what kind of sponges he was talking about. But didn't work for him. So watch out, job hunters. Let's move on to another funny one from our good friend, Sandra McCart, who might actually be a guest someday, even in 2012. She had a candidate interviewing for a management-level IT role. And his mother, this wasn't a kid, his mother sent her, quote, a gorgeous basket with chocolates and a bottle of vodka and a note that said, thank you for helping Ralph with his job hunt. You will need this before it's over. That's funny. That's funny. That's a mother stabbing her poor kid in the back. Anyway, he didn't get the job, as you might imagine. And Sandra says she did need the vodka. He was a high-maintenance guy. And then I got another note from Timmy Espanola, I think his last name is, over at Recruiting Blogs. He sent me a notice that he published a posting in which people on recruitingblogs.com were complaining about the bad words that they hate. Just like I have animal bad words, they have bad words too. And one person didn't like the word iterate. The dictionary says it means repeat. I've never seen it used, but I absolutely hate the word iteration. Whenever I see it, I ask myself, what's wrong with version? Am I a stick in the mud for liking it's a new version instead of it's a new iteration? I'm behind the times, maybe. That's a software term. And I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like leverage either. Leverage is a bad word for me, and that's not new. I heard it way back in the 80s. What's wrong with use? What's wrong with I'm going to use this instead of I'm going to leverage it? When I hear leverage, I think you're an idiot who just wants to use some kind of big word. It's not even that big. Anyway, let me go on. One girl on Recruiting Blogs doesn't like the saying, it's not rocket science. And you know what? I actually like that the first 10,000 times I heard it. But some people think they're witty when they're using old jokes. It's never going to change. Daryl Diocio, I met him in September, but I don't know how to say his name. He doesn't like it when people use in these troubled times at the start of a cover letter. I have to say, I've never seen that used. But where I used to work, there was an idiot there. Everybody hated him. And he used to say, in this day and age, all day, every day on the phone, to whining to his clients, in this day and age. And I hate it, and that's why I work at home, because of that guy. On Recruiting Blogs, some people hated conversate and idiates. I've never seen them. Orientated was another problem word. Obviously, only an idiot says orientated instead of oriented. But I have to point out that some words are so stupid that I just love them. They are just so funny. And orientated doesn't fall into that category, but programized does. Someone says she hates it when people say they're going to programize their phone. I like it. I like urinize. I heard a rap guy in a rap group say that. Urinize is okay with me. I like agreeance. I'm in agreeance with that. I heard Freddie Durst from Limp Bizkit say it on Howard Stern and stayed with me ever since. But there's one word I don't like that lots of my friends use, and that's shit. Sorry, kids. Whenever they like something, these people say, I love that shit. Have you ever eaten Japanese food? I love that shit. Can't they see? There's something wrong with that. I'm sure lots of people have talked about it before. I love that shit. Doesn't make any sense. It's a contradiction in terms. In contradictions, they're not allowed on Jerry. Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show.
Went longer than you.
Yeah, man. That's different music, dude. What's going on?
I'm playing with the music. I think we need something. I think I actually arranged that to be the intro, so that's why it was so long.
Hey, just a quick point of reference here. We've got the Google Hangout is going on. We've got Richard Posey and Tim hanging out, so we're just seeing what's going on. So anybody wants to go check it out, check it out.
Yeah, but turn off the sound. If they make sound on there,
hey,
I'm
they're not.
Cut you
okay,
off
we know what's happening, dude.
Okay, I want to congratulate Janice.
They don't have any babies in the background, by the way.
She's a grandmother, but this is not a show for babies. Okay, if you're gonna have that kid on your lap, you're gonna have to mute your phone. Okay.
Yeah.
What's the kid's name, Jerry? Olivier?
Oliver,
okay. We'll call him Olivier on this show. That's his name. Okay, so Janice, exec job coach, welcome to the show. You're not the guest, but I always think I really give short shrift to the regulars. They should get more mention. So if someone reminds me, I'm happy to make sure everybody gets their Twitter name or their website or whatever. Janice, I created a web address for her, janicespeaks.com. If you want to have some good podcasts for job hunters, janicespeaks.com. I'm very proud of that. Go there. Now, let me introduce my guest for today, Trevor Howenstein. Trevor Howenstein,
yeah.
Are you there?
Trevor, I am here. Good afternoon.
Oh, boy. Now, let me ask you, are you on the speakerphone again?
You can hear me loud and clear. I'm ready to leave.
Are you on the speakerphone again? Because if you are, get off of it, okay? I'm not going to fool around in the last session of this year.
Yeah,
no speakerphone.
Notice how he didn't answer your question.
Is that your child screaming in the background there, animal?
The child will be not on the phone if you get off that speakerphone, okay?
This guy's running wild on you already, animal.
How's this?
This guy's running wild. You asked him a question and he refused to answer it.
Are you ready to leverage my knowledge for this iteration of the show?
I met Trevor when he complained about my shortcomings as an interviewer during my show with Cora Mae Lengeman. So I figured, you know, if this guy has such good advice for me, I should make him a guest so he can keep things working properly right during the show instead of waiting till after the show to criticize me. And here he is starting off on the wrong foot after I told him no speakerphone, okay? Now, Trevor, first question. You're with me?
Yes.
Still here?
I am.
Say yes or no. I can't see you, okay? Is there a delay?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. What do you think of that sponge gimmick? Did you think it was a good idea?
Yes.
Janice.
Yeah.
Who's there? Is anybody
I'm
here?
I'm here.
What do you think of that sponge deal? Was it a good trick?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I got to meditate,
Trevor,
about that.
Okay, you meditate. Trevor, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Trevor, the guest? Why is there a delay?
There's no delay. You're good. Your guest is
I'm
good.
Hearing a delay. I say something and I don't hear anything after, and he answers me 10 seconds later. Trevor.
It wasn't like that on speakerphone.
Like this guy.
Okay. What about the sponge? Was it a good idea?
You're going to have to refresh my memory on the sponge.
You didn't listen to the introduction?
I heard I love this shit. And
okay.
Iteration and leverage.
Yeah, okay, fine. We'll move on.
Okay.
I saw this guy on Facebook. His name is Sandeep Shokin. Mm-hmm. And he said, a great recruiter never says no or I can't. We fearlessly say yes, sure, and we'll be happy to even ask how many and when do you need them without batting an eyelash. Recruiting is purely attitude, positive attitude. Do you agree with that?
I do. I would say yes, however.
However what?
Disclaimer.
And segue into my point.
Disclaimer.
You know, I got to tell you something, Trevor. I'm getting a lot of resistance vibe from you. I had a great conversation with you on Monday. It seems to always happen. I haven't talked to anybody for a while before the show, but I was just saying, this guy's going to be fantastic. And I'm just saying, like, you don't really want to answer me. I'm giving you an opportunity to expostulate and elaborate and go on, okay? So you say,
your question was kind of ambiguous in that, you know, if a client asks for something specific and I disagree with it, I would say yes, however, and follow it up with my point. Or I would ask, would
you
agree and ask the manager questions?
Would you have an example? You have an example? Why'd I have to pull that out?
Give me an example.
Why don't you just tell me right away? You give
me an
example.
Can I find a purple unicorn? How's that?
Uh-huh.
If a manager asks,
how about a real one, not
a
purple unicorn? How about a realistic one? Have you ever said to a client, no, I can't fill that for you. It's impossible.
Yeah.
Or that's really difficult. Give me an example. Do you have one?
I can.
Nothing comes to mind right now. Is that true?
No, I'll give you an example. I was recruiting for a DBA up in Wisconsin, Two Trees,
What's
Wisconsin.
What's a
DBA? DBA, Database Administrator.
Okay,
and they,
uh-huh.
They're in Two Trees, Wisconsin, and really the only large organization within miles of that town. So they wanted a DBA with, you know, 5 years of Oracle experience, and they wanted to pay $80,000. I can find them that person. However, it won't be Oracle. It'll be a very sharp local DBA with Access or SQL Server. And this is an opportunity to come into your environment and shine as a relational database management expert while they have the opportunity to learn Oracle and grow within their company. So yeah, you have trade-offs in anything. It might be
what
if they
say?
Were that particular position, they said no, they would rather buy, and so they bought the person and upped the salary.
Oh, okay.
So they can lower their expectations
on skills. And they didn't use you to find that person.
And raise their expectations on what they're willing to pay and the relocation package.
So you're willing
so forth.
To walk away, just like Cora May, from a requirement that you don't think is reasonable. Is that right?
Absolutely. I'm willing to walk away from a waste of my time.
Uh-huh. Well, obviously, though, they raised the salary, so it didn't have to be a waste of your time. Why did they pull the job from you?
They didn't pull the job from me. I ended up filling that position because they raised the salary. That allowed it to be a fillable position.
Okay. You said on your LinkedIn profile, I'm just going to give you some lobbyists, some easy ones to warm you up because you sound like you need to be warmed up. You said companies receive hundreds of resumes for posted position. Learn strategies to get yourself seen in an interview to compete for the job. Now, I should say that you wrote a pamphlet or a 40-page book called Getting the Interview at gettingtheinterview.com. You wrote it to get rid of, Amy Alla is listening right now. And she told us when she was here that people always refer their cousins and friends, you know, the people who can never find jobs themselves and don't want to get off their ass and do anything. They send them to her. And she says, buzz off. But you wrote this book to send them to give them a pleasant kiss off. Is that right?
Correct.
Oh, good
okay.
for you.
Now,
hey, testing.
Now,
Animal, I just need to do a quick test here. Test. Can you guys hear me? Richard,
yep.
Tim?
Yeah.
Not you guys.
Yeah.
My new buddies, my my technically
gifted
buddies, Tim and Richard.
You're not supposed to be talking to them. You're not supposed to be talking to them.
Hold on, man, I'm doing a quick test. You can afford me that. Can you guys hear me? Richard,
yeah.
Tim, can you hear me?
That's all I need.
I don't believe it. Okay, you know what? Anyway, so look, but you said when you're advertising, the companies receive hundreds of resumes for posted positions. If they posted that position for the DBA in Wisconsin, they wouldn't get hundreds of resumes, would they?
No, they wouldn't.
That was just sort of a marketing rhetoric. Am I right about that?
No, you're not. It is true that companies do get hundreds of resumes for positions, even if they're not qualified resumes. And I'm sure any HR professional in the corporate environment that's on this call could attest to the fact that they get several resumes that don't even come close to fitting the position in hopes that that HR rep or that recruiter that does receive the resume might recognize another match. And
okay, let's move on. We have to speed this up. I'm going to have to keep you lively because I know you got a ton of good information.
A ton. Yeah,
please, everybody out there, he does. I had a very interesting conversation with this guy. He used to be a team leader and a director in a recruiting organization. He trained guys how to be recruiters, and he's fully articulated every aspect of recruiting, and he's really good at sharing it. But first off, here's an easy question. What's your Twitter name so people can write it if they want to?
Trevor Howenstein without the E on the end. It's TrevorHowenstein.
And what's your website?
What is it?
Jerry, hold on a second. Jerry, I'm going to cut you off.
Hold on.
Not
another me.
Noise
hey,
coming from
hey,
Google
hey,
Plus,
hey,
okay?
Hey, it's not me. That's part of your crowd. You got construction going on over there and all that. It's just me and two dudes chilling out. I will not take any heat, none of the blame for this. Back off. I'm doing your show a favor.
Okay.
Animal, can we
okay.
just get rid of this guy already?
He's got a lot of good information. Where do you want to start, Trevor? What's your website? Let me ask that.
KTSearch.com.
Okay, now you told me that you're really good at getting referrals. Why don't you tell us? In fact, why don't you role play with Mike Astringer? He's the guy who just mouthed off, okay? If you need a role player, ask for him. Okay.
Sounds good. Mike, well, obviously, as far as getting referrals, it comes at the end of a recruiting dialogue or a cold call to a recruiter or to a potential recruit. So we can do it. We can
do it
one or two.
Let's start at the beginning. What is the cold call? That's my favorite question. What does the cold call sound like?
My cold call.
Yeah.
Okay.
You sound like a robot, dude. Loosen
Listen,
up,
I'm
dude.
Real busy here. Get to the point, or I got to hang up the phone.
Mike, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Hey, my name's Trevor Howenstein. I believe it's the first time we've spoken, but was told that
Sorry,
you were responsible. Yeah. Yeah, and I was told you were responsible for pricing configuration within the SD module. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Is this a recruiter? I mean, what's the point of the call here?
Well, let me ask you, have you designed the blueprint for the SD portion of an implementation?
Well, let me ask you again. Are you a recruiter? I mean, what's the point of the call here?
I've been called worse, Mike. Have you done the blueprinting?
Can you answer my question?
What's that?
Are you a recruiter? I mean, what's the point of this call?
I have been called worse, yes. I'm a search consultant, and I have a
okay,
client
you know
of mine.
If you can't answer my question, have a nice day.
You too, Mike.
No, you did a good job, but you should have gotten to his answer quicker. That should start talking to your client. You're gonna hook him with discussion about the client, not about who you are. But you started out great.
Well,
do it on Janice.
Right.
Do it on Janice. That's Janice.
Janice,
let's role
good
play
morning.
With Janice.
Janice, good morning.
Good morning. How can I help you?
Hey, I understand. My name is Trevor Howenstein. It's the first time we've spoken, but I was told that you were responsible for pricing within SD.
Trevor, how did you get my name?
Well, I was referred to you being the one that took care of pricing. Was I led astray?
I'm not sure. What can I do for you?
Well, can you lead me to the individual that's doing pricing configuration?
And what is the nature of the call?
Configuration within the pricing module.
You need to tell me about your client sooner.
That's too ambiguous,
you know, most people are not this combative. You know, sure, you're gonna get 50 out of a, or you know, 1 out of 50 that will be this combative.
But I think that people want to know the point of the call up front.
But
they don't.
I know, but the show
who's
the
making
show
that noise? Please, I'm begging you. Don't screw up the
good
show,
every time,
okay?
Every time, okay?
I got to make sure I'm talking to the right person.
But
well,
is he going to be confronted like that every single time? I find that hard to believe.
I'm not confronted like that maybe once out of 100.
And I believe that. I think it's the show you're on.
Right.
Perhaps.
Okay, that's Jeremy, Janice's son. He's going to be the target now. You talk to Jeremy. Make your
Jeremy,
call.
Good morning.
Hold on. Bada bing, Jersey Turnpike, can I help you?
Jeremy. Jeremy,
enough
good
bad
morning.
Already.
Hey,
good morning, how are you?
Good. My name is Trevor Howenstein. I understand you're responsible for the pricing configuration.
I am.
Have you ever done the design or the blueprint for the SD portion of an implementation?
Well, let me ask you a quick question before we move
sure.
on. How did you
sure.
get my name? How did you become aware of us?
That's where he kills it.
Of you. I was talking to a colleague, and they mentioned that Jeremy was the man to talk about SD, that you were the king.
Oh. Okay, and what can I help you with then?
Well, I have a client of mine. They've grown tremendously through acquisitions the past 10 years. It's been very profitable for them. However, the growth has prevented a problem, or has created a problem, I should say, that they have several ERP systems now running, you know, such as JD Edwards, SAP, Oracle ERP, and they've decided to take a 6-year journey to standardize everything within SAP.
Do you mind providing the name, because they may be a client of mine?
What's that?
I said, do you mind providing the name of the organization, because they may be a client of mine?
Well, certainly, before we pursued any sort of interview with the client, I would certainly provide all the information.
That's good answer.
That's a moot point unless you feel like this could be the next potential career move for you and your career. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. How can you email me information about it?
Absolutely. Before I present you to that client and pursue an interview for you, I'd definitely interview or tell you about the client. However, right now I'm more interested in learning about you and your background.
Well, I'm taking this call from underneath my desk. Is there a better time to do this?
Certainly. What time do you get out of there?
About.
You know, Jeremy, we're on a show, Jeremy. Okay, take the call now, will you?
Yeah, that's fine. Yep. Nope. Go ahead.
Well, this position's 20% project management, 30% in requirements and design, and you'll be spending about 50% in hands-on configuration. How do you believe that would take your career to the next level or challenge you?
Well, I'm doing all that now. I think if I'm going to do something like that, it's got to be, a bigger the problem, bigger the hero. If there is a mm-hmm. bigger organization, I'd think about it.
Well, it's 80 locations globally for the next 6 years rollout. Are you in maintenance mode, or are you currently in implementation mode right now?
Implementation. I don't think we ever get away from that. It's always changing.
Constantly bringing on new companies.
Excuse the noise in the background. I work part-time at a preschool.
No problem.
Okay.
How would you like?
All right, I'm done.
Okay.
Cheers, animal.
Sounds good. How long you been there? Well, let me go into referraling now.
Okay.
Okay.
So how long
ahead,
how long you. Have you been with your current company?
Okay, is this still me? I've been here about 6 years.
About 6 years, okay. Where'd you work prior?
I'd rather not say. We can get into all that should we decide to move forward with this.
Is that top secret stuff?
Yeah, it's just it's
CIA
secrets and all that stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you on a big team at that last employer?
No, it keeps on progressing as I move on.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you're being challenged and that your career is really on the right track where you're at right now. Would you agree?
Well, I'm always in for a challenge.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're getting that challenge where you're at now.
Look how he's turning you.
Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Well, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't a challenge.
Okay, great. So at any time that changes in the future, give me a call, and I'll be more than happy to tell you about the marketplace and what's going on and what other opportunities are available. Would you view that as value since you're SAP and I specialize in SAP?
I believe in growing my network.
Great. Let me send you, I'm going to send you my contact information. So if anything changes, companies downsize, outsource, move IT, get bought out all the time, anything changes at all, give me a call. What's
very
your
good.
Home email address?
Animal show at
preschool.com.
Preschool.com. Okay, great.
Yeah, preschool.com.
So this position I called you about, for the right person, for the right individual, do you think it sounds exciting?
I do.
Who in your network, who that you've worked with in the past, should I be talking to about this position?
We'll have to have that conversation another time.
Sounds good. And should I call your cell phone this evening then? It sounds like you have someone
in mind. I'd email me. Yeah, I'd email me. Go ahead and
email
me your information, and when I reach out to that person, I'll let you know.
Well, I'm going to actually call the individual myself because they're obviously going to have some questions about the position. And I didn't hear you taking copious notes on it.
Well, here's the thing, is I need to know a little bit more about you before I can move forward with any serious effort. I know about the position. I know that you're interested in me, but I figure I got to do my diligence on you just like you're going to do it on me. So if you wouldn't mind sending me your information, perhaps a LinkedIn profile, maybe a couple of references. And then I'd love to maybe move forward after I've talked to some people that you've previously worked with.
Sounds like you've been a detective in the past, Jeremy.
Do people really go for this smart-ass kind of stuff, Trevor?
Oh, they do.
I was just thinking about that. How are you ever going to get anybody's confidence or anything?
It's a combative detective witness thing, and you're in the corner room with the light bulb on him. I'm asking really. I mean, do you find that this is the most warm and friendly way to connect with people? When they ask a question, simply say, "Boy, are you a detective?"
I feel like I'm squirming in my chair. I feel like
they
I'm squirming
sound,
in my chair.
I think they feel like they're being a little ridiculous, wanting to check references on me before they give me a name.
I do.
I don't think
that's ridiculous at all.
They spew the data to me. I get so many referrals. I get a name. 7 out of 10 people I refer, I get a name. And multiple, 2 or 3 at other points.
Which is incredible. 70% are successful requests for referrals. That is incredible.
I spent my first
Anybody
5
else?
Years recruiting in Detroit in the late 90s with Y2K. And they were getting asked for referrals every day. You ever get the objection, "I don't know anybody"? Who do you know?
I would think it's easier to get a referral than it is to get a commitment. You want somebody's name? Hey, what have I got to lose? I'll do somebody a favor. But you want
no,
me.
It's hard
to
get names.
To
it's
you.
Hard. It's hard to get names. It's not easy to get names. Not for me. I'm not that friendly. I know, but this guy is doing fantastic. I would guess that there's nobody on this call or listening on Twitter who gets names 7 out of 10 times they ask. And he said multiple names. Does anybody want to argue with me about that?
I do. I got some animal.
Who's that? Kathy? Kathy?
Yes.
Kathy Manis? Okay. Yes. You're saying you get more than him or just as much?
Just as much, if not more. My cold call, just in cold calls alone, my stats were about 80%, and then I would utilize those for referrals. And I always got them, always.
And how's your referral request differ from Trevor's?
You know, I just dialed in, so I just heard the tail end of it. So I can't tell you that.
Why don't you tell us yours?
How I asked for a referral? It's interesting.
Yeah.
This happened yesterday. Yesterday, as you know, I'm on the job market, and I'm in the final stage of getting this position, and they're flying me back first week of January. They gave me a sample resume. They gave me a sourcing test, basically, a job, a requisition, and a stellar resume of an ideal candidate. And so I went ahead and I contacted their stellar candidate, asked them for referrals, and I got 5 names.
How did you ask them? Do I have to beg?
Oh, no, I emailed him first, and I said, I really need your help. I'm working on this type of position. I make it very, very simple. You know, would you happen to know anybody in your network who's looking for their next professional home? That's all.
And they sent you five names? The guy sent five names?
I did. So I ended up talking to him on the phone. We were going back and forth, and then I just called him.
And then he gave you the five names.
Yeah, you give him a little bit of the job description, not much to begin with, and then he asked for a little bit more. So I gave him a little bit more, and he got excited about it. And this was
five
their
names
candidate.
From that.
Yep.
And he didn't give you any resistance. First the email, and then he said, sure, I'll give you names. Or what did he say after the first email?
He says, I know. He said, gosh, it sounds exactly like what I'm doing now. Well, it was. It was their person. And I said, I said, well, you know, can I call you on the phone and talk to you about it? And he said, sure. And so what I did was I started. Sometimes people will hesitate and say that they really don't know of any referrals. But then if you start narrowing it down to geography, then they start thinking, well, gee, I think I do know a person in Columbus. And that's what we did. We were talking about geographies and, you know, different qualifications and all that. So we, you know, it was just a friendly back and forth. And I never once asked him if he was interested in the job. I never asked if they're interested in the job.
Uh-huh. Trevor,
yes.
Still there?
Yes.
If you have someone's email address, will you email them first?
No way.
I do.
You're always calling them.
Hot.
Yeah. See, I deal with, and most recruiters deal with a certain personality profile. And the reason that we're all successful in recruiting is because we're focused on a certain personality profile, and that's called what I call the scientific mind or the logical thinkers. So
uh-huh.
if anyone on your show right now recruits other than that scientific or logical mind, such as IT, engineering, doctors, or accountants, or anyone that are more those scientific skill set or scientific mind, they have the same personalities.
Technical types.
They're technical types.
Uh-huh.
They think the same.
And
they're wired the same.
And what personalities do they have? How do you appeal to those guys?
Well, okay, you take those personality types and keep them in mind, who they are and how they're wired. Okay, and now let's think about the applicant pool. All right, they're going to be in one of three categories, and that's inactive, passive, or active. Meaning inactive, they're not looking for a new job. Passive, they're not looking but would change for the right opportunity. Active, they are actively seeking a new position. And keep those three categories in mind when you're thinking about these people and how they're wired, okay? The ones that are inactive, that's about 50% of the applicant pool, and the reason they're inactive is because they're experiencing growth, challenge, appreciation, promotion, the work itself, and advancement. They're growing, they're challenged, they're in the flow. And then the passive candidates, they are comfortable. They don't have to go meet a stranger, right? They know the people, the environment. They know what is expecting of them, but they're not growing, and they're more comfortable. They've thought about making a move, but they haven't updated a resume, sent it out, because then they have to go meet new people.
Ooh, I got a question when you're ready.
All right, and then you have the active pool, which is about 10%. Those are the unemployed, unhappy, unqualified. What really pushes these personality types into that active pool, 9 times out of 10, is the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It starts off with we need food, shelter, right? Then belonging, esteem, self-actuation, actualization. So when someone's
this
out of work or getting laid off.
This is too heavy for me, man.
Right? If someone's
like
getting laid off, you know, yeah, they're forced into that. They're forced
okay,
into
so how
the,
do you
to
force,
go look
let,
for a new
so,
job.
So let's, for Jerry's sake here, and I'm with him, and we'll get back to Janice's question in a minute. How do you force, how do you move the guy who's happy into the semi-passive or will listen to you? But we'll get back to that after I do this ad from our sponsor. Now, I haven't been charging him yet, so I'm still allowed to do a sloppy ad. And the ad is for a company called TempWorks.com. Greg Durgarian our longtime friend, is the CEO there. I don't know if that's his formal title, but he's the boss. And here's what they do. Jerry, our good friend on the show, he specializes in IT contracting. He sends out contractors who are programmers to his many clients, and he's very successful. If you want to get into the same business as Jerry tomorrow, TempWorks will sponsor you. They will front you the money. They will become your partner, essentially. They're called a factor. Look it up in the dictionary, right? And they'll also supply you with all the staffing software you need to run your company. TempWorks.com. In the new year, I'll have a fancy ad for them, and I'm going to start charging them, too. Thank you, TempWorks. I'd also like to thank Chris Russell of JobSpeak.com, my previous sponsor for earlier this year. Now, Trevor, I gave you a chance to think. I know you've been on the spot. I know there's lots of people complaining. The show's going too slow. But I like this kind of granular role-playing. I mean, I like that these guys have been throwing really great wrenches at you. I'm happy where I am. I can't talk now. Whatever. Who are you? Why are you calling? I'm, you know, et cetera. But let's move away from the full lecture about the personality types, et cetera, and let's say, how do you move a guy who isn't really in the market to take a look at a job? Is that something you're good at, yes or no?
Well, while, if someone's inactive and they're experiencing growth, challenge, appreciation, promotion, you know, advancement where they're currently at, why would I want to move that guy?
Ooh.
I don't want to move him.
Because he's the right guy.
Okay.
I want to referral him. Right, and you won't end up moving him if he's being challenged and growing in his current role. You're not going to place him. You might move him and get him to go on an interview, but he's ultimately staying there. That's been my experience. The 40% that's comfortable, they haven't taken their own initiative to go out and look for a new position because they like their company environment, but they're not growing in their career. They're not challenged. They've gotten comfortable. They're going through the motions. That's the targeted applicant. That's the 40% of the marketplace. That passive candidate pool that I'm after.
Now, are they going to say, when you ask a guy, when you call a guy up, is that kind of person going to say, yeah, I'm raising my hand? Or are they going to say, because they like being comfortable, I don't know, I'm not really ready right now. Are they going to back away and you have to encourage them to move forward?
Yes.
How do you
do
that? And does anybody want to come in right now before we go into this? There's a lot of people on the line. Anybody want to challenge our friend here?
Hey,
no. Okay.
Cora. This is Cora May.
Hi, Cora.
I just want to say, hi. I just want to say that everything that Trevor has said is absolutely true. You have to know the personality of the people that you are recruiting. You have to. By the way, Mike, you're a jerk because that is not any way that anyone ever in my 22 years of recruiting has ever answered a cold call. They've never.
So if somebody calls you or if you call somebody and you don't tell them who they are or why you're calling, they don't question who you are or why you're calling?
Of course they do.
He told you who he was.
He told me his name and he didn't tell me where he was from or why he was calling me.
Like, well, if you don't have the brains of figuring out that the guy's calling and asking you about what it is you're doing, that he's a recruiter or a headhunter, you know,
you know what?
The answer, I've been called worse, is not real compelling. It's not real engaging.
Exactly. Thank you.
And you know what? And most recruiters out there do not start conversations the way I started it. I'll tell you who does, and that's users internally. These companies have 5,000 people, and they get calls from strangers that are coworkers that work for the same company, and those are the kind of questions their coworkers ask. And so if you think I'm throwing a red flag up that it's a recruiter calling with the type of question that I opened up with, you're wrong. Most recruiters are my competitors that call up, they start off with, I'm a recruiter,
and
I'm calling to see if you want a new job. Yeah, great opportunity.
They have no clue.
Right. They have no clue if it's a great opportunity because they don't know what that person's doing to compare it to the position that they're calling them about. So my question at the end was, how do you believe that opportunity would provide for your career?
But if you call up and you don't tell me who you are and you ask me too many questions, I am very nervous. You might be the boss's son or something.
I agree, Janice.
Hmm?
I agree with you. It's
let's
Kathy.
Let Cora, I want to hear what Cora was going to say. Cora, did you have anything else you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, I call into the public accounting firms, and I call into the financial departments of Fortune 50 companies down to equity-backed firms. And I have never, never had anyone ask me the kind of questions that you guys are. And part of that, I think, is because they're in tune to the fact that they actually have business acumen, and they are not going to think that this isn't a recruiter, number one, or they're thinking that someone's calling here wanting some information.
Okay, but if you don't answer the question, do you think you're not going to get your balls busted?
You know, let's move on from that. Cora, do you have anything else you'd like to comment on, or was that it?
No, I think it's been a great show, and I'm sorry that I'm in a car on a cell phone. So I'm going to mute myself.
I appreciate you. You added a little zest. You added a little zest here. I'm happy about that. Anybody else want to talk about another topic or challenge him?
Well, I
want
to respond to Mike real quick, Astinger.
Go on.
You are right. You know, when I'm talking about the personality types that we're dealing with, they one of their traits is they avoid conflict. One of our traits as successful recruiters is that we create conflict sometimes for entertainment value. So, when someone calls us with our personality types, not saying a whole lot of information, before we're giving up data, we're questioning. We want to understand who we're talking to and what this is about. But for the most part, those personality types are more compliant. They avoid conflict, and they're great people. I love the community that I work with, and their strengths are not our strengths, and our strengths are certainly not theirs.
I got a question.
Trevor?
I got a question.
Janice first, then Kathy.
Okay.
I'm the career coach for the entire Ohio Society of CPAs. 22,000 mm-hmm. of them. Do you really believe you can stereotype these people like that? These guys are like this. Those guys are like that. We got everybody in that group.
Absolutely. One of the strengths of accountants, for example, is their attention to detail. That's one of our, as recruiters, that's one of our weaknesses.
That's part of doing the job, but that's not going to be necessarily the personality that you're going to get mm-hmm. communicating with them on the phone. They're all different.
Well, you work with a lot of them. I assume, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Some of them could be sales reps. Some of them could sell cars. These are personality trends. Some of them want to sit in the cubicle. You can't stereotype these people, I don't think. You can on the job, but not with the personality, not with the communications.
Well, they're wired to
okay.
Around
let's move
rules.
On. Kathy's question. Thank you, Janice. So you made the point. I don't think he's going to be able to prove you're wrong, but you just got different opinions. Did you have anything concrete to prove quickly that she's wrong, Trevor?
Well, there's all kinds of personality profiling systems that companies have built teams on based on.
Okay, let's move. Kathy.
Yeah,
question.
Couple of things. I have to take umbrage with you in terms of the personalities and picking up the phone versus emailing. I do both, but the person that I was trying to attract yesterday was very high up there in the IT world, and he accepted an email from me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being the case, Shally did teach courses on how you do cold call and how you do adjust your personality style to
correct.
Whomever is on the other end of the line, but you cannot categorize it within the industry. It's according to the individual, like Janice said, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know if you and I tried doing an engineering or accountant, a salesperson tried doing an engineering or accounting job, we would fail and we'd hate it, or one of the two.
But that's not what you're talking about, though. You're talking
no.
about...
Okay, you know what? I'm tired of talking about personality types. Before it's over, is Indy Andy here? I don't think so. He's not here today, is he?
I think he's at the gym.
Moment? Okay. Now, Trevor, you told me that you made $30,000 extra one year because you watched Tommy Hopkins, the sales teacher, sales trainer. You watched him twice that year, right?
Yeah, I've watched it a few times, and then it was about the third time I watched it, I was able to internalize it enough to where it affected my production at the desk.
So TommyHopkins.com, I linked to him on my website and on the posting on the Blog Talk Radio site, if anyone's interested, what do you like so much about Tommy Hopkins? And specifically, why do you think he made you $30,000 extra dollars in 1 year?
That's a guesstimate, obviously, but I saw my income go up dramatically from that year, and that was after I started using the techniques. And most of it, or what I've taken the most from, is closing, and sales is all about not what I say, but what the customer says. Okay. And asking
you
the right.
Give some examples in the recruiting, because he's not a recruiting teacher. He's a general sales teacher. I want to give some examples how you've taken something you heard from Tommy and put it into your own context.
Sure. You ask questions. Anytime you're tempted to say a statement, how can I ask a question? So I might talk to someone about their career and say, well, let me ask you, obviously, why did you go to school? Right? It's kind of rhetorical, but then I'll answer it for him. Well, you did for a career. Is that correct? Because you want stability.
So
what,
when would you ask that question, why did you go to school? At what point in the conversation would you say, why did you go to school?
Well, I'm starting a closing sequence on recruiting a new candidate, for example.
Uh-huh.
And I'm engaging them, right?
Yeah.
And they'll
and
say, well,
so
yeah,
what would
obviously.
The guy say, no, I'm not interested, and then you want to move them forward, and you say, why did you go to school?
Yeah.
What
I mean,
comes before, why did you go to school?
Yeah, I mean, I got a lot of tools in my backpack, and I pull them out when I need them. So, I you know, it's someone says,
well, let's start with the why'd
you
go to school. Tell me, just let's hear that. Why'd you go to school? You'll say to the guy, why'd you go to school? And then he won't say anything.
Mm-hmm. They'll say, well, it's for a career, right? To have stability in your career and to be growing, right? And they'll go, of course. So they admitted that. So do you feel like after your college degree, do you feel like you're growing or your learning has stopped, or do you feel like you've chosen a profession where it's constant growing and challenging yourself? And I'll say, well, yeah, it's definitely constantly growing and challenging myself.
Uh-huh.
Well, great. Well, you told me that your implementation was done a year ago, and you've been just working on process improvement. Do you really feel like you're growing and being challenged where you're at? Well, no, not as much as I was, but, you know, I like the people. Okay. And you say, well, have you thought about making a change since your duties have changed in the last year? Has it come across your mind? Yes. So for the right position, if it was the right company, the right environment, the right geography, the right people, the right position, for that kind of opportunity, would you make a change? If everything lined up. Yes, I would. Sounds like you and I should be talking tonight then, shouldn't we? I guess so. Do you have an updated copy of your resume?
Do the person lets you lead them? I would call what
yes.
Tommy's teaching their recruiter loop. I mean, it's greasing the conversation. Do they let you lead them like that?
Absolutely.
Sure, Animal. It's closing, man. I'm surprised that various closing approaches surprise you, though, Animal.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I mean,
you
have to close people. They must be closed.
Okay, I'm sorry, Jerry.
Otherwise, they're left
listen,
open
Jer,
forever.
Didn't you hear all the role plays earlier in the show?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
How the people were, and they felt that those were all legitimate. These guys are not pushovers. If I see somebody asking a leading question, now maybe I don't have a technical personality, but if someone's asking me a leading question, I know he's a salesman. I know he wants me to do something that's going to benefit him. And
they can't deny logic,
pushing
though.
Me into
they're
a
logical
corner,
mind.
No, but see, this part of the call is after that first minute of who are you, why are you calling,
right.
And establishing that get over that hump. I mean, anybody can talk to anybody for 60 seconds.
Exactly.
And the key is to move that discussion into minutes 2, 3, and 4, where
right.
You're actually, there's no more combat, and it's just a discussion. You do
right.
Then need to begin closing that person, closing
right.
Them on moving forward, taking your call again, talking tonight, sending your resume, having that second call, looking into this client over here, having a cup of coffee with your manager over there.
Jerry.
It's closing.
Jerry,
and then
Jerry, have you ever said to somebody, Why did you go and get educated? You got
sure.
educated to
yeah,
to,
that would not
forward.
Be cool either. I
no,
agree.
No. It sometimes it comes as part of the discussion. If I have a candidate that my client is offering them a job to go learn some fantastic stuff, mm-hmm. yet the salary is say $500 less, I will have a discussion with them about why they spent $75,000 to go to college in the hopes that maybe they'll get some kind of a technical position. And why wouldn't they consider a $500 investment to learn something that's going to be the most marketable skill for the next 5 years? That's a legitimate discussion to have with somebody.
And you do it in the form of questions, don't you?
Sure. And if you've never had that kind of discussion, then you're missing some opportunities.
If somebody asked me why I went
like,
to college,
that,
I would be so
and that's
insulted.
Jerry, hold on, Jerry, and that's why, because he watched Tommy Hopkins and he's not missing those kind of discussions, he made more money afterwards. Is that right?
That's absolutely right.
Yeah, Tommy's great, man.
Okay.
Any person in sales ought to watch Tommy Hopkins.
Okay.
I still have
okay.
trouble getting past the whole having to ask four times who you are. I mean, all the rest of this is arbitrary. If I'm not going to have a conversation because you won't tell me who you are.
I
Mike,
agree
what
with
did you
Mike.
Want him to say?
I'm with you.
Mike, what did you want him to say?
I wanted him to be honest and say, you know what, I'm a recruiter. That's who I am. Not, I've been called worse, not...
Yeah, well,
you
know what, I'm
kind of
with Cora.
Tell me
I'm
kind of
with Cora on that. He did tell you, whether you liked the way he told you or not, he pretty well did say it, okay?
Yeah, but that
so,
can kill it if it's the wrong way.
Come on, if he said, are
okay.
you, you know, are you
I wouldn't do it
said,
if it wasn't successful.
Worse, it's the same thing.
I don't think that you should expect someone to answer your questions if you can't genuinely give them answers to their questions. Now,
exactly. You're calling me, not vice versa.
The way
yeah,
you shape those
right
answers is up to you to determine whether you're going to be the champion of that conversation or not. But you do owe a stranger answers to their questions as you move
no,
ahead.
You don't. No,
yep.
you don't.
You
not,
most well, certainly
not, not
do.
Not
you
don't.
And keep this in
you
mind.
You absolutely do.
Keep
no.
keep this in mind. One of the best referring opportunities you have is if they said no to my first question. I'm calling
what
up.
Do you
I'm
mean?
Nice. Okay. I understand you're responsible for the SD configuration within pricing. Oh, you're not. I'm sorry. Who is? Oh, it's Nancy. Okay. Sorry to bug you. What's Nancy's extension?
But that's more rusing than it is getting a referral.
But
in my opinion, a referral is someone knowingly saying, hey,
right.
here's who you really want to talk to about that career move. Not, Bob, sorry, who's the other guy? Oh, that's Larry. Cool. That's not a referral. That's just another name.
Oftentimes,
it's required to do that.
Let's say I got that
referral.
Name off LinkedIn, and their title was SD Analyst. So I'm thinking it's the right person that I need to talk to.
Sure.
But once I qualify question, are you doing the configuration? No. Oh, who is that? That's Nancy. Okay, I can back out of that phone call and go talk to the right person.
But people, when you say who is, people aren't like, well, who is this?
Yeah, they must be.
It depends on how you ask it. Some people can get away with anything. Other can't get away with anything, with nothing, depending on how you ask the question.
See, so you know what? I'm sorry, and you know what? You can be pissed off at me all you want. To me, this is sleazy, man. I'd rather just be out front with somebody. Here's who I am. Here's why I'm calling. And I think you're getting more referrals that way, and I think you're getting more respect that way.
Well,
and what do you? Well, why won't
how
you
many
tell
placements
me you're
a
recruiter?
Month do you make?
Why won't you tell me you're a recruiter? Yeah.
Okay,
because
I
want
to move on from that. I want to, you know what? There's a guy named Chris Fleek. He's a Chris Fleek 1. He's got a number in his name. And he said he'd like to hear more about business development. We got 6 minutes. Can you tell us something about your marketing calls, how you bring in business, Trevor?
Yeah, well, first of all, I try not to make A through Z phone calls. And I generate so many job orders within a week that would keep me busy for a month.
Uh-huh.
Primarily, when I'm recruiting, I get all my job order leads at the same time. So anyone any applicant that, when they're not interested and I feel like they're growing in their current position based on real information they gave me, and responsibilities that they're currently doing, I encourage them to stay there because they are growing in their career. And I say, however, things could change. And they agree. And I send them my contact information and say, I'm here if anything changes for you. And I build that start building that relationship with that person. So I
ask you to take it a step further and call them maybe a couple of months down the line and say, wanted to touch base with you.
No, I want to know how he gets, there's not much time left. I want to know how he gets a job order. How do you get your job orders?
Okay, I'll keep talking to that person and say, so has anyone left there recently? Where did they go? Well, the company they went to is hiring. Okay, so that's a job order lead. The spot they vacated is potentially open, so I refer who the manager is over that position. I say questions like, so what kind of people are you guys looking for? It sounds like a
there
great place
go.
To work.
That's good.
What kind of people are you guys looking for in IT? And they tell me. Because I've given them something, which is my time in the future if they ever need it. If they're ever in a position, since I specialize. Now, if you're a general recruiter...
Now, if somebody actually calls you, I'm just curious, if someone actually calls you 6 months down the road and said, you know, I lost my job, what can you do for me? There's no guarantee you can do anything for them, right? They might not be a good candidate.
Right.
Right, okay. Okay.
Right.
And what about, last thing, what about you said counteroffers? You're against counteroffers, I think, right?
Well, of course.
Of course. Every recruiter is, but what's the story? How do you tell people not to take a counteroffer?
Well, first of all, when you interview a passive candidate, at the end of your interview, you've kind of got to put them in the emotionality, have them go through the emotionality of a counteroffer before the actual day that they do it. So at the end of your interview, you're wrapping things up and you say, you start getting agreements with your candidate, right? So if I bring you the right position, can you go on an interview within 24 hours notice? Yes. You know, you get that agreement, okay? And then you can move right in so let's say I send you on an interview on a Monday and I get an offer for you that same week on Wednesday. You know the company, you know what the position is, you have all the information on the benefits. So if I get an offer for you on Wednesday, when I present you with that offer, you should be able to say, yes, I want the job, or no, I don't. Would you agree with that? And, of course, they'll agree. Some might say, I might need to talk to my wife about it, and then I'll close them off of that. Anyway, once
they
say yes.
What do you mean you would close them off of that?
You'll have talked to your wife before you go in on Monday for the interview, would you have not? Yes. She'll be aware of the fact that you're interviewing for another position. You'll be able to talk to her about the position, the benefits on Tuesday after the interview. So you should be able to formulate in your mind, okay, if they offer me X, I'm going to take that job. Would you agree that you and your wife could have that conversation prior to Wednesday?
And they sure will. Right up until then, they need to, you know, talk to God about it as well, and you
right.
guys didn't cover that.
Well, that's the new problem.
Or their wife
later,
really didn't
right?
know about it, and they do need some time to think about it. I think a lot of these initial closes are fun, and they make you feel good, but you're not going to push somebody through a decisional process.
No,
it's
all
one
hypothetical
call, you know what
at
I mean?
This point. It's all hypothetical at this point.
I'm with you.
But it's still their words that you can perhaps hold them to later. But, okay, so
hey, I'm in the market
offer.
For an 82 Chevy. Can you help me with that, too?
Well,
let's just
you know,
finish this part off. We're going a little over time now.
Well, it's their agreement
so go ahead.
That they're getting. It's agreements from them, Mike, so it's not used car salesmen. It's their agreements. They said it. They agreed. So it's not a used car salesman. You need to buy this, or this is the way you should do it. You know, here's the keys. It's, do you want the keys? And they're going to say yes or no. So then I say, okay, so you get an offer on Wednesday. You call the manager. You accept the position. We call them together. He congratulates, or you thank him for the opportunity. He welcomes you aboard. And then you go in Monday and you say, you know, it's been great working here. It's time for me to leave. Here's my 2 weeks, though. And they say, please don't go. In fact, he calls the director in. He calls the CIO, and they all meet with you. They're on their knees. Hey, we had such high plans for you. We had a position for you. It wasn't going to be made official until after the first of the year. We'll give you $20,000 more than their offer. Please don't leave. What's your thoughts on that, Jerry? What's your thoughts on that kind of position? $20,000.
I'd have to think about it. If I were a candidate, I'd say, well, I'd have to think about it.
Of course. Wouldn't we all?
Oh, but once an employer knows you've been looking.
Let him finish, please. You'll talk to Jerry about it after.
Okay. Wouldn't we
Mike,
all? We'd all
Trevor,
have to think about
go
it.
Go ahead.
We'd all have to think about it. $20,000 extra. You know, I didn't know they loved me as much as they did. But here's what we don't think about, and here's the horror stories that I've seen happen. And then you just start talking to them about all the reasons why not to take that counteroffer that they never thought of.
Yeah, man.
That's good.
And so,
I mean, that's pretty basic stuff, though.
Let him just finish. Let him just
finish. When reality happens,
we'll be into your show.
Okay. When the things happen that I predicted were happening, such as the manager saying, please don't leave, and that director walks in, we had all these plans for you. We'll give you $10,000 extra. And notice it's always $10,000 when I said $20,000 because I want their counter to be lower than my hypothetical situation. So when all that stuff starts happening, what are they thinking? Trevor was right. Oh, my gosh. He was right. And if I'm right about that, guess what I'm right about? The fact that
what's
30 days or 90 days later, the other things are going to happen too. And it's true because I've seen it happen to people.
What are those other things? Last thing in the show, what's those other things?
Well, they replace
the
a month after you say, okay, I'll stay, they say, sorry, we weren't able to push that raise through HR. After your other opportunity is gone.
We're leaving you out of the team of the inner circle.
I got to move now to Jerry's show. Trevor, I've enjoyed having you. I have to admit, they can take shots at me in the after show. I fell down on the Maslow. I should have cut that short. And I had some trouble warming Trevor up a bit. And I think that's because I didn't do a lot of prep for the show. But I love this kind of granular, I'll use that word, word for word. Let's have it out on the phone. Thank you very much, Trevor,
hey, one,
for putting
one thing.
Yourself
can
through
I,
that.
Can I, need, one, I, want, I want to create a mental image for everyone. I didn't get to touch on this, but as far as social networking and Twittering jobs and posting jobs and emailing people, let me give you a mental image of my opinion of that stuff. Everyone look
go
at
ahead.
The palms of their hands, like hold their hands out in front of them. Cross your fingers, your middle finger and your first finger, cross them, like for good luck.
Yep.
Throw them up above your head, real high in the air, and
I'm
close
doing
your
it.
Eyes.
I'm doing it. I'm
and
doing
close
it.
Close your eyes.
Yeah,
close
good.
Your eyes.
All right.
And
I'm doing
throw
it.
Them up there.
Way up there.
And keep emailing, and that's the mental picture for all of you.
All right, thanks, man.
Trevor,
right,
thank you!
Hey, Jerry.
Oh, goodness. Mike, you've got a minute now. Come on. This could be potentially one of the strongest after shows of the season.
You're absolutely right, and I emailed my candidate that I had a call with at 1 and told him I'd be 5 minutes late, and it's 4 minutes after. So can I just throw my comment out real quick?
Yep.
You know what? Two words come to mind, scumbag and used car salesman. I don't know this guy personally, but I hate this approach. I hate this approach when recruiters are marketing to me. I hate this approach from recruiters. I think in 2011, you know what, maybe this worked at some point in the past, and certainly I was trained that way 18 years ago, but I think in 2011, you can be honest, you can be forthright. People know what recruiters are. They know why you're calling. Be honest about who you are, why you're calling. Give the person you're calling a little bit of credit. Don't be a scumbag used car salesman.
All right, give me your scores, man. I know you're busy because you're a high-level professional.
I just happen to have a 1 o'clock call.
I know, man.
I'm going to give Adamo a 40 because I don't know where he was most of the show today. And I'm going to give the guest a 30 because there's nothing he said that I agreed with or thought made any relevant sense to today's business world.
All right. Who are you calling, man? What's that all about?
A candidate for a CFO role.
CFO
yes.
stuff. That's high-level stuff.
Okay.
Now, if you called
him
a CFO and he said, who are you, would you say, hey, none of your business, just answer the questions?
I've been called.
If he asks me who I am, of course, I'm going to say, are you the person who handles the financial strategy for your organization? And maybe I'll say that four times before he hangs up on me.
I think that there comes a time in your recruiting career where you are comfortable with who you are and you don't have to play the predetermined back and forth stuff. And perhaps maybe that just hasn't happened with him yet. But it happens.
I'll be honest with you, Jerry.
While,
you know, we were
and you're not hiding from what you
ago.
Do.
I don't think I've used a ruse in at least 10 years.
I haven't either. That was so old school.
And it tells people what you think of yourself, but you won't be forthcoming.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, man, we can hear you. Who is this?
It's Lee from Toronto. How are you?
Lee Shemuel?
Yes, sir.
You're one of my favorite guys that rarely, if ever, calls in.
I know, you know, I have to do double duty. I was listening to another meeting at the same time as on Twitter with this one. I have to say, I'm with A Stringer, okay? I haven't used a ruse in the last 15 years either. You just got to be forthright, forthcoming, honest, and, hey, turn on a little charm. People will tell you anything if they can hear you smiling down the other end of the line.
Awesome. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm with you.
I'm with you guys. Like, none of this cloak and dagger crap.
I just thought that he sounded almost too indoctrinated into very specific ways. And, you know, I know a lot about his background. He and I come from the same school of recruiting.
Mm.
Fortunately, at least for me, I've been able to take the parts of that methodology that work and that make sense and really be more personable about it. Of course, you don't want to call someone to begin recruiting and just start spilling the beans and answering every single question that they've got. But you do need to give that person a sense that you respect them as a person and you're not just trying to get over on them real quick. I mean, that goes a long way, in my opinion.
You know what? This was interesting to me. Like, when you started to reference this Tom Hopkins guy, listen, many, 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 many years ago, and I won't tell you how many years ago, I did sell cars. And I went through all of those different sales training techniques. And the problem is they come across as being prefab and ingenuine.
If you don't give them a new coat of paint, yeah, they do.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I didn't
I
start
like
being successful
stuff.
Until I dropped them.
Yeah, I still think that it's important, you know, the tie-down, tag-ons, whatever that stuff is called. Those approaches are important because sometimes you do have to, with your candidate, sit there for just a second, and both of you just kind of underline a thought for a second. Sometimes you do need to say, yeah, that is pretty important, I agree, rather than you would agree with that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's different ways to do that.
Yeah.
Well,
and I'm real smooth at it, by the way.
There's the content.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, I just throw that in there.
No, but it's true.
We're all thinking it, though. We do have egos ourselves.
I am smooth, aren't I?
Well,
all right. What were you saying, though, Janice?
There's content and there's delivery. And I can hear from the guy from Canada, okay, on the phone, he'd be engaging just by his voice. Hear me?
Yeah, Lee Shemuel, he's a great guy.
Thanks, I appreciate
Lee,
that.
Lee, what were your scores? We need a score from 0 to 100 for the guest and for Animal's execution of the show as the host.
I'm going to tell you from a guest perspective, I'm with A Stringer. It's a low one. I'd say about 40, 50 for showing up kind of deal. And Animal, I don't know, he was disengaged today. I'd give him about a 60.
He was almost a bit starstruck for some reason.
And I don't know. I mean, Houndstein was a bit monotonous for me.
Okay, so what's Animal's score?
I give him about a 60 today.
Right. Who's got the lovely children there? And I love children. I've got three myself. I love kids.
I got to mute for a sec, guys.
I do. It's Jeremy, and I can't.
Love the kids. What's your scores, Jeremy?
I give them both 70s. I think it's a cold call. It's not a pre-planned thing. I think right off the bat, A Stringer didn't give the fighting chance in hell. So they both get 70s. He probably could have done better. He put too much of an act on during the call. I don't believe he recruits like that. I mean, the guy's obviously got success somewhere. Can you be a bad recruiter and do it long enough and still be successful? I guess. But I think
life
I think,
is a cold call.
I'm sorry?
What's that?
Life is a cold call.
Life is a
I
cold call?
So. I get it. I
That's
guess
a bit
so.
Too heavy, Janice. I can't accept that.
On this show, you're at a loss right when you come on anyway, just for the peanut gallery. So I gave him 270s.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Merry Christmas.
Yep. Thank
Janice?
You,
I give the guest a 30 because he's a smart ass. That's the first thing. You can be incorrect, but why start getting cynical and sarcastic on a show
okay.
when we're really trying to make some headway here? Animal, I did not think he did a bad job. If he was unprepared, I did not get that. I think he allowed his people to talk. He allowed his guests to talk. I
mm-hmm.
thought the back and forth interaction of the cold call. I thought it was excellent. I thought it was a great show. I really did. So I'll up Animal to an 80. And the guest, he's traditional. He's not changing with the times. He's doing the used car salesman 60s thing. I learned it too.
Yeah.
I love Peter Lefkowitz. Some of you guys know that. But I've heard him recently, and he's
yeah.
changed the way he's doing things. We all need to do that, no matter
what. Pete has changed?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's he changed?
Well, he's, you know, he knows that he can't just come in with the same things. The concepts are the same, but the delivery is different.
And I think Trevor is going to learn that over time.
But here again, if he's that successful, he's either doing something different or he's doing something right.
I didn't hear any mention of successes or lack thereof or any of that. I don't. Maybe I missed that at the opening.
No, I didn't hear any of that either, Jerry.
Okay, I think that was maybe Animal mentioned that, but
you know, and perhaps even over the last 2 or 3 years, if you're still alive as a recruiter, then that is a success, maybe.
This is true too.
You know,
maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'll
tell you, the last 2 years have been my best 2 years of recruiting ever. It's been rocking, but that's a different story.
Jerry, Merry Christmas, Indiana.
Oh,
yeah, Merry Christmas. Okay, Kathy.
Yeah, because I have to leave. I came in late, but I kind of found the guy a little insulting. You know, there's so many methodologies to recruiting and sourcing, and they all work together. You don't just have to pick up the phone. You can use email. You can use social networking and be very successful. So,
okay.
And I think that his reasons for not accepting a counteroffer were that detailed.
In all fairness, though, we really didn't get much time on that.
That's true. And then the finger-crossing thing at the end. And asking about your education, I would personally be so insulted if someone said, why'd you go to college? I mean,
I have had that conversation with people.
I'm
so.
Sure in your world there was maybe a reason for it, but it wouldn't be something I would do regularly. I mean, the only time I ask about that is if a master's is required or something, where a degree is required for the position.
No, I wouldn't ask somebody because I don't know why they went to college. Of course, we all know why people go to college. Sometimes I think it helps put a frame of reference on when someone thinks they need to have a $10,000 raise in addition to learning the latest release of Oracle's ERP package. Sometimes when someone is absurd, I will ask some questions that might be a bit absurd, taken out of context of that conversation.
Jerry, you know what's pissing me off right now?
Who's this?
You go, because you have to go. Go ahead.
I just quick question off topic.
I have to get my scores.
Okay, Kathy, give me your scores.
Okay, for the guest, I agree 30. For Animal, I will give 80.
Okay, thanks, Kathy. See you next Wednesday. Next Wednesday is the official virtual holiday party, 7 o'clock. Okay, who's jumping in there? Was that Dave Manister?
It was.
Hold on. Hey, Jerry, hold on. Tell me again. Just repeat that date again because I got to get going. Sorry about that.
Next Wednesday, the 28th, virtual holiday party at 7 o'clock. We're going to do a Google Hangout. all different kinds of fun stuff. Sorry it's not tonight. Had something come up. It's next Wednesday, the 28th.
Can you tweet that out, maybe, Jerry?
I sure will.
All right, listen, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, everybody. I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Later.
Okay, who else are we? Okay, Manister?
Cora's here.
Yeah.
Oh, Cora.
Yeah, and can I give mine? Because I'm in
yeah,
my car.
Yeah.
And I have to go to a meeting at 1:30, so let me do my
Hey, we don't care what's going on, Cora. Just give us the scores.
Okay. I disagree with all you guys. This guy was good, and he is a good recruiter, I think.
Okay.
He was comfortable in his delivery. I bet you he is even better when he is on the phone with candidates.
I think he's comfortable in his delivery because he says it exactly the same way 5,000 times in a row. I believe it becomes robotic and indoctrinated. Go ahead.
And it probably worked. He recruits, and his thought process is very similar to mine. And
that's cool.
I'm not gonna say, gee, I'm so successful, blah blah blah. But gosh, I'm up here in Detroit, and I've had the best 4 years, the last 4 years that I've had in the 18 before that.
Hey, speaking of Detroit, my new favorite show, Hardcore Pawn.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
Has anybody
seen the Hardcore Pawn show?
Yeah,
no,
nope.
Oh, this is off the hook. Check it out, Hardcore Pawn. It's on channel 246. Okay, Cora, what are your scores there?
So my scores are way different from everybody else's. I thought Trevor was great. I give him a 92,
Ooh.
And I think that Animo did a good job of keeping people quiet so Trevor could really get his message across. And so I give Animal an 86.
Okay, all right. We'll have a blessed Christmas, Cora May.
Because I'm biased because I recruit like Trevor does.
All right.
And I get referrals like Trevor does, so I'm biased.
Awesome.
It still works.
All right.
Okay, Merry
Love
Christmas,
to hear.
Everybody. Bye.
All right, on to you, Manister.
So I'm kind of annoyed. Because when he was on, and I didn't agree with everything he said. I some of the stuff rubbed me the wrong way, definitely. But when he was on, nobody said a word except for Ace Stringer's ridiculous role play. Nobody said a word. And now, you know, the guy jumps off. He's not here to defend himself. All of a sudden, everyone's all pissed off and angry.
Mm,
and thinking, no,
that's a good point.
About.
That is a good point. I was just mesmerized, almost like as if I was being hypnotized. So I couldn't say anything. But in all fairness, I have to say, I know exactly where he learned all that stuff. It's where I came from. He and I, not at the same time, he worked at the place where I learned recruiting. So I've been through all of the manuals, all of the Tommy Hopkins stuff, the exact verbatim. And I was personally having flashbacks. Because it takes a long time to shake some of that stuff. Because it is, you're almost too black and white with it that you have to, it takes several years being away from that environment to realize that you need to soften a lot of that stuff up. It does sound mechanical.
I'm not a fan of canned calls. I'm not a fan of a whole bunch of the stuff that I heard, but it's not. I don't even care about that. It's more just like where were all these people, all these punchy people during the actual call with the guy.
So like you don't like the whole sandbagging thing that's gone on here and carried into the after show to lambaste this guy. Where was all this during the show?
Yeah, where was this during the show? The whole peanut gallery was listening quietly and soaking it all in, and then all of a sudden after, everyone just, like, let it rip.
Yeah.
The scores and all is good, but, like, you know, wouldn't the actual show have been that much more interesting and you know, made people actually learn something if the guy was challenged on the stuff that everyone seems to
No, but I think they were. People were challenging him. I mean, a few... I doubt you'll listen to it again. I've never listened to a tape of the show. Animal listens to it like 15 or 18 times a day.
Well, he's
the whole week.
He's the host.
So, Animal, perhaps maybe you can grab a clip or two where people do challenge him on this stuff.
Hey, Jerry, it's Amy Alla. Can I say something?
Amy Alla.
Hey, how are you?
I am good.
All right. Well, I just want to say, I mean, you've got a point, but here's the thing. If we're all jumping in, and I was streaming it. That's why I didn't talk during the show, but I called in to talk to you guys. If we're all jumping in during the show and kind of pushing back, then the guy doesn't get his message out, and then people complain about that.
Yeah,
well,
Dave, that's what I wanted to say,
Master.
That's
what he wants to say. Now we're reviewing it. Right?
Okay. That's also a good point. That's a fair point.
That's fair. It's just there seemed to be so much like this is bullshit after I can't believe he said that and you know blah blah like there, I think there's a balance there where at least you're challenging some of it when the guy's there to respond.
This is the kind of controversy that keeps people coming back week after week. You never know what is going to be misplayed in the animal show.
Great.
Manister, what are your scores? Because we do need some. So you're obviously going to go 100 and 100 to balance it out for the bushwhacking that's taken place, right?
There's been a bushwhacking, but it's not my job to balance anything. I'd go 60 on the guest and 75, 80 on the animal. I think you had a tight ship today.
Mm-hmm. I still find it just so amazing that anytime anyone is giving any clear approach to this industry, the recruiting industry, that animal's the one mesmerized. It's just like, oh my God, that's brilliant. Okay, Amy, what are your scores here?
I'm going to give Animal 60. I think he did a good job of trying to get the war stories. You know how he feels about his war stories, and I was not buying it from the guest. I'm only going to give him a 40, and that's mostly for showing up because I know how hard it is to be a guest on the show. But I felt like you've already said, you know, it was kind of canned. I don't think he engaged anybody. And you know what? I've had calls that sounded like what A Stringer said. I've made those calls, and I've had my, you know, I've been treated poorly. Let's just put it that way. And it's going to happen, and I don't think he turned it around like he could have.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
Hey, Jerry. Yeah. Chris Fleek.
Chris Fleek? Are you kidding me?
Man,
the big hitters are coming out of the woodwork. Love it.
Hey, I just want to piggyback on what was just said. Just once, I would like to hear a guest say to somebody asking a question, you know what, that's a good point. I can see your take. I think that might be right. But instead, I think all the guests that I hear come on thinking that their point of view is 100% correct. And so that combative thing that goes on takes place because no one's willing to say, you know, gosh, that's a really good perspective you just gave. And I think there were some good perspectives in response to the whole being unwilling to be forthright with the reason for a call. I'm personally opposed to it. I don't have the moral outrage, I guess, that some have expressed. But, you know, I just don't see the upside in holding back why you're calling or where you got a name. It just doesn't make sense to me. But all that said, I think the guest still did a good job of holding his own.
Sure.
He was confident in his delivery. He believes in what he's doing. And I have no problem with the fact that I disagreed with him. I think he did a pretty good job. So I'm going to give the guest a 70.
Okay.
I think Animal did a really good job today of showing some restraint and letting the guest just take the heat. I think that instead of, you know, people wanted Animal to maybe jump in a few times where I say, gosh, you know, sitting back and letting it just evolve kind of worked today. So I'm going to give the Animal an 82.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right.
I agree with Chris. The Animal's not always able to do that. So I like that he kind of stepped back and let the guy put all that information out there that we can review in the after show, which is the purpose of it. No?
That and to just chit chat about various topics around the globe. Anybody else that I'm missing? Anybody that hasn't spoken up? To Travis? Jaeger? You still with us? Probably had to bail. I know he was heading down to the gym.
I'm here.
Oh.
I'm here.
All right, man. Here's with some scores here.
I just go 80 across the board.
That is weak. That's a lazy score, man. I'm going to accept it because that's the rules. But
no, I think the guest did good. I think Animal did good. I think that the bottom line is I think there's more than one way to do this business successfully. What works for one isn't going to work for another. And I think to ask an example about a cold call when you're talking to a group of recruiters is probably not a real fair portrayal of how the calls actually go, I guess.
I don't like doing the role-play calls on the animal show.
I don't either, because they're all inaccurate, depending on who you're actually going to have on the phone at the time, you know.
I'd like to see a guest come prepared with a few recorded phone calls of them actually recruiting somebody. Instead of role-playing, say, hey, just listen to this. But
if
that's
Maureen
a little bit too
is
heavy.
Still listening, she had some fabulous phone calls that she pre-recorded for SourceCon about a year ago.
Mm.
And they were nothing short of amazing.
She is amazing, isn't she?
Right. And I think what Trevor was trying to convey was the why did you go to school thing and all of that. I think that's more just to get the individual back on the yes track, perhaps, or maybe gain control of the conversation at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like it or not, I mean, recruiters and salespeople in general, they are supposed to navigate the conversation. They are supposed to steer the person towards either identifying why they want your product or why they don't, and then, I mean, it is sales, people. Sorry.
Yeah, it's sales.
You
I mean,
have
you
to.
Call them up, you establish you got the right guy, you try to establish interest, and
mm-hmm.
those conversations can go 500 different directions.
All right. Well,
and
I...
If it goes bad that, you know, you got a guy, for instance, the conversation with Trevor and A Stringer, you know, in that kind of a case, I'm always up front letting people know who I am. I don't think there's, and I think Trevor did that during the course of their talk as well. But I don't typically run into calls that are that combative, really.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I've got a trap line to check, people. It's been a great show. It's been a solid after show. Any final thoughts before Christmas? Anybody? Anybody?
Merry Christmas, Jerry.
Oh, super. Merry Christmas, everybody. We'll see you around.
All right. Take care.
Now listen to me, dummy.
I don't want to get another phone call like this, because if I do,
I'm going to get on a plane and I'm going to blowtorch the both of you. Do you understand?
Later, everybody.
Later.